The Burt Show.
You know, we had this segment yesterday later in the show called Am I Normal? Where you do sort of quirky things and you're not sure if other people do them or not. We took like 15 calls from people that were doing the most bizarre things. We took one call from a woman that says when she's doing laundry, if she's in another part of the house and she's too lazy to walk to the other part of the house, the other end of the house to go to the bathroom, she will just put the towels in a pile and pee on top of them and then bring them to the washing machine and wash them.
She's in the laundry room.
In the laundry room, she pees on the towels.
Gross.
And then she said, well, I make it really, really hot and make sure I clean them up really good.
Now, I have a
question.
Not enough cleanness.
At the risk of stooping to her level, I did have a thought yesterday.
Stooping.
Okay. Why doesn't she just pee in the washing machine?
Well, that's a lot of effort. I mean, you're going to have to get up on the washing machine.
You've got to lift yourself up. See, the towels are nice and soft on her tush.
And that would be gross. Peeing in the washing machine would be absolutely gross. She don't want to cross that line.
And as I was putting something in the dryer yesterday, I did look down and see our cat's litter box. And I thought, what if she just put a litter box in our laundry room?
There you go. Scratch away at it.
Clumped.
Gross.
A big old giant human-sized clump.
That is disgusting.
Like an ostrich egg.
Yeah, it's 36 pounds of urine-soaked clay.
What are we talking about?
What's happening?
So, getting back on point. We've got two worlds colliding here because Reshma has one that she's doing with her sister now that is really pretty morbid, very morbid.
I mean, I didn't really think it was morbid until like a couple days ago. My sister and I, a couple months ago, it's probably been a year now, we've been doing this. Obviously, once your parents pass, and neither of my parents have passed, and we don't have any intention or anything like that. It's just one of those things that you kind of know in the back of your mind.
Let me ask you this question. It's going to be dangerous for a guy that's 43. How old are your parents?
It's not dangerous. 50 and 51.
Okay, and they're in good health.
Oh, yeah.
Good standing.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah,
I had this conversation. When Hayden was in yesterday for iCarly, I had the same conversation with him. It's like, look, my dad's not old or anything. I'm not waiting for him to pass, but pff, I mean, he's in his 40s.
He's lipping around. He's got some big things sticking out of his neck.
He's not looking good.
Yeah, no, they're in perfect health. Nothing's wrong with them. And my sister and I just kind of got in this habit of we started thinking about when our parents pass, you obviously, you know, want to preserve their memory, et cetera. Besides just memories, they also have their possessions. So one day we're just sitting there and my mom's going through all of her old jewelry. And my mom has a beautiful jewelry collection. And she's obviously got daughters, so she wants us to split everything equally like a mother. But my sister and I are so competitive that we started sitting there and I was like, oh my God, this is so pretty. I was like, oh my God. And I turned to my little sister and I go, I call it. And she was like, what? And it became this giant thing we do all the time now. So we go through.
In front of your parents?
In front of my parents.
Like if they're in the car driving you somewhere and you realize you like that car, you call it?
We go through. We'll be going through jewelry and go to the bank and like pull something out. And we'll both like get really close to my mom. And the first one to call it gets it.
So you're calling possessions from your
parents.
Future, your parents that will be deceased in the future, right in front of them while they're alive.
Probably
while
in
they're
like alive. 30 or 40 years from now.
Yes. And it's not like us being mean and being like, you know, anticipating their like, you know,
demise
or anything.
It makes it easy when it happens.
It's not even that. It's just one of those things that my sister and I are two different people. And we just, you know, there's certain things we want. Like my dad is a big reader. He's got an awesome book collection. And I'm the same way. My sister hasn't read a book since the second grade. I mean, end of story. So one day we're talking about it and we're going through the library. And I was like, I turned to her and I was like, I call dad's books. And it just made sense. We don't argue about it. It just makes sense.
And he's alive
and
he's
alive.
Fine.
And he's collecting books
I
and picking them up.
Dad's books.
So, I mean, it's
your
not
sister's the smarter one in that because she's like, you can have the books. Kindle, iPad. Thank you.
Exactly.
I call them too.
Melissa?
Well, you're not completely crazy, because unlike you and your sister, my sister and I go behind each other's backs to our parents at the time.
Oh, while they were alive.
Yeah. Well, mom is still alive and there is a painting of hers that, because my mother is an artist and she was an art teacher her whole life. And so there's the first painting as a kid I ever remember her painting. I made a comment about it one time and then I said, you know, I'd really love to have that the rest of my life, hint hint. So she actually put a little note on the back of the canvas that said this will go to Melissa.
Seriously.
Because my sister would totally take it, only knowing that I wanted it.
Do you document? Do you write these things down? Because in 30 years, you're never going to remember who called.
You've got to write it down.
You'll remember.
But see, the thing with us is there's nothing so far that we've really clashed on besides the jewelry. But even then, that's the only thing my mom has commented on. She said, jewelry-wise, everything goes evenly. Like, it's not like one necklace equals another. It's got to be like value wise. Like one can't be like, you know, a $500 one and the other one get like a $10 necklace. It's not one and one. It's value wise.
Boy, you have it all worked out.
Yeah,
don't
you? We really like figured this out. And I don't think it was weird. I just thought it was us being like, you know, proactive.
It's not weird because there's a whole bunch of people calling saying they do it also.
Yeah. See? Yeah. Competitive sisters.
Yes.
It's more about the fight with your sister.
And we
than
never
it is
fight
about
it though.
Stuff.
It's not like I call it and then we sit there and like fight for 45
minutes. That's good.
Minutes.
That's good.
Can I call stuff your parents
sneak around
on?
Around bag.
Everything's called. Every little thing. Is called.
Here's Nicole. Good morning. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hi. My sister and I do the same thing, and my mom actually has written down in her will which piece of jewelry each one of us gets.
So it makes it easy on the parents.
So how does that work, though? If one of you goes to your mom, then she writes it down, or do you have to have counsel where you guys both argue that you want the possession?
Like over the years, each one of us has said, oh, I like that one. So at least she's told us that it's written down in the will.
Like for my birthday, my 40th birthday was this year. So I said, you know, Mom, I would love to have some kind of heirloom. I'd love to have one of your, talking about jewelry. And I mean, that was just a way for me to get it and have it. And that way my sister didn't get it.
But that's awesome that you can admit that.
Small difference. How old is your mom?
She's 81.
Reshma?
But the painting, I think I did in high school. The painting claim.
You had your eyes on that thing
20
for
years.
20
years ago, yes.
You know what? Next time everybody goes to visit their parents, just take something out of their house. Or bring some masking tape and write your name on it and just put it on the back of it.
The only thing that's really weird that we've done, which this one I'll admit is kind of morbid, is my little sister called the house, so I called all the furniture.
All the furniture?
All the furniture?
You can't do that.
You can have the house, but I have everything in it.
That's like calling.
Because she didn't call the furniture. She called the house. So I immediately called the furniture.
That's
and
fair.
I went,
You got to do the furniture piece by piece.
No,
I get all the furniture. Sticky note underneath it.
I get all the furniture.
That's
it's
like
done.
Calling dibs on every guy done. In the bar. You can't do that.
Well, no, it's done
got
already. The house. So that's fair.
I got
split it evenly.
It's a big house.
Morbid.
The Burt Show.
My dad just emailed me and asked me if I know which disposable camera is better than the other.
Oh, bless his heart.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. My old man is 73 years old,
cute.
And he's going on a cruise this weekend. We're going to like Puerto Vallarta, you know, the whole love boat, you know,
the
route. Puerto Vallarta, yes. Cabo, all that, right? And he won't get a digital camera. He just will not
cute.
Get a digital camera. So he went out and he is purchasing 10 disposable cameras. To bring with him on his cruise.
Aww. Where you gotta go there.
But on a cruise ship, cute. There's like a lot of old people going cruises. So that's cool, man. Yeah, I'll be right with everybody.
He'll be the youngest one on the cruise probably. Like everybody will be sleeping by the time like 7 o'clock when he wants to go out and party. Everybody's sleeping.
The alternative is I got my parents a digital camera a few years ago for Christmas and they, you know, hesitantly embrace all technology until they see what it can do. And then like, wow, I can take as many pictures as I want. And then a couple years later, it stopped working for whatever reason. And it's because they didn't know that they could take the pictures off the camera. So every time they would plug it into the computer, like it would load up, you know, 20 pictures, 40, 80, 60, 200, 400, 982
pictures. Oh, they didn't know that they could delete the ones they just took.
So they'd take them off. They'd look at them all on the camera, pick the ones, email a couple of them, and they're like, I don't understand why it's not working. And well, because there's 1,460 pictures on here.
Right.
And most of them have stuff like people's aww. Flower gardens.
I love that sound of the disposable camera.
And then you got to hold down the flash in the front.
Yes.
Wait, yeah. Oh, I didn't hold it down long enough. Sorry, give it back to me. Hold on,
okay,
hold
the
it
red light. The red light's on. Okay,
go.
The wild thing is when he gets the pictures back, they're actually going to be physical pieces of paper.
I know.
Right.
That's crazy.
Like, how's really he going to share? If you want to see him on his trip, he's going to have to put a photograph in an envelope.
Yes.
Make you a copy.
And put a stamp on it.
Send it in the mail.
In the mail, and you'll get it at your house, like, on paper.
And we'll open it up. I'll open the envelope thing up, right?
And you could frame it.
Whew. Crazy.
It's a lot to chew on.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
Producer Carl, man, he's looking around, he's watching women complain. I can't find a man.
Whining
all the time. Carl thinks he's got
right,
it figured out.
Carl, let's hear it.
You know what, and I think this because, you know, I'm married now, and women seem to feel comfortable venting to me and telling me what they want and needs and everything. So
All men, including myself, figured out dating for everybody else the day we got married.
Exactly.
It's all crystal clear for the rest of you.
Of course.
Now that I'm married, take my dating wisdom.
and run with it.
The standard.
It's the truth. But seriously, though, I hear a lot of women complaining. And don't get me wrong. I have three sisters. So I would never tell a woman to lower their standards.
And daughters.
And I have daughters, exactly. That I would never tell, I would never tell you to lower your standards. But.
But I'm about to tell you to lower your standards.
Okay.
All I'm saying is I hear a lot of women saying they want this, they want that. They have this whole list. But I very rarely hear ambition on that list. Now, I think that ambition can play a part in everything else, a part of that list. But if you hear women saying, I want this, like on what Chili wants. Don't get me wrong. I understand. That's what she wants. That's what she wants.
Her list, her big six list or whatever she called it.
Exactly. Exactly. But
that was Bert's friend who had the six pack, six figures and
six.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was one other.
Six million.
Six foot.
That's right. 6 foot.
Right.
Less than six venereal diseases.
All that.
Right.
I just think that women want a ready-made man, and I don't know where they sell those at. You know, and the thing, and what I say about ready-made man is they want this guy who has let me just start with a job. Okay, no problem.
I mean, that goes with ambition, right?
That definitely goes with ambition. But if you have a guy, now I spoke with a lot of women, they say, he can't be working at McDonald's. Now, in today's society, McDonald's is good to have a job.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And that's what I mean. So if you have a guy who's working at McDonald's and he's comfortable with being at McDonald's, then okay, that's a problem. But if he's talking about, man, I'm going to dump these fries and then as soon as I get off these fries, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, that guy is showing ambition. So he's showing. He's not able to show you now.
Even if you're if all you're doing is cooking fries at McDonald's, you're still doing better than like a third of the other people out there who aren't bringing anything in.
You're making $100 for a couple of days' work. At least you're bringing in $100.
At least, right? Mm-hmm. And the guy wants more. So if he's talking about more, I just think that a lot of women are missing that ambitious characteristic.
Mm-hmm. So, especially a guy in their 20s isn't going to be making that, you know, that salary that they eventually will in their 40s or their 50s or whatever.
And even guys in their 30s and 40s. Hey, it's hard times around here. Not everybody's on top of their game by the time they hit 40. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I have plenty of friends who's not on top of their game, you know, and they're struggling, they're working, they're hustling to get there, but they just don't have it. So they have hard times even speaking with the guy. It was funny. I was out with a partner of mine a few weeks ago. Dude is real ambitious. He's always talking about ideas. He's always getting things together. He had on these funny shoes, ripped up shoes. He was talking with this girl. The girl literally looked him up and down, laughed at him. And I saw him whisper to a friend, look at her shoes. Not knowing that this guy is like, he's a real good dude, real good, strong dude, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just think that she missed everything just by looking at his shoes. And I don't know if it's Atlanta or, you know.
It's just some girls. So you think women are too superficial?
Very.
Especially when they're making their list.
Especially in the A. I'm not going to say
and
high
guys
especially
aren't.
In that way.
So at the end of the day, women are complaining about guys, but guys are out there. They're just looking. Women are looking for the wrong things.
There's plenty dudes out there.
Because we can compromise now. Because guys, you know, women are superficial. I mean, I'm just saying with guys, like I'm trying to find the equivalent on a appearance factor for women. Because, you know, guys want women to be perfect looking.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So let's say a woman is, you know, 10, 15, 20 pounds overweight. Can't you see, you know what, she may have ambition to someday, you know, be able to be in the shape that I want her to be in. Or, you know, like I'm just wondering if, and when you see a woman that is overweight, if you're a guy that likes a thin woman, don't you walk away from her base just on visual? I'm just saying that
Carl's black. Nah. I mean, he likes the big girls.
Oh, yeah, I like them thick.
But I'm just saying for guys, but I'm seriously saying for guys, like if women are superficial about what they want in a man, isn't it the equivalent of what guys want a woman?
Well, isn't it different? Isn't there some kind of difference here by saying that you're attracted to either a short guy or a tall guy or...
As opposed to
like him just having ratty shoes on?
No, I think that you have the comparison of a woman wanting a guy to be financially sound, I think is the equivalent of a guy wanting a woman to be physically perfect. I think because I think that
I think that's in a woman's head. Guys don't want women to be as physically perfect as y'all think we want women to be.
All we know is what you keep saying.
For instance,
the way you talk about women gives that message.
For instance, there's been plenty of times I've given a compliment to a woman, maybe a girl in the McDonald's, or she's been earlier in the
hungry,
morning.
You're hungry, aren't you?
I'm starving.
You're talking about French fries a lot.
You're making me hungry. I'm craving
hash brown and egg McMuffin.
Good grief. But plenty of times you'll give a comment maybe early in the morning where she may have rolls in her hair and you'll hear the woman say, why is he talking to me like that? Why is he complimenting me? But the guy just sees that potential. So I think it's more so in the woman's head of the physical what we're looking for more so than what y'all think that we're actually looking for.
That's probably another conversation for another time. Here's Rebecca. Good morning. You're on Q100.
I got a comment on Carl's ambitious thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is one thing to say you're going to do, get a better job, look better for your woman or whatever. It's another thing to do it. I've been dating this guy for going on 4 years, been stuck in the same job, steady saying, I'm going to do better, I'm going to do better, I'm going to make myself look better for you. Yeah, I got to go to the gym, I got to make myself look good, I got to go to the tanning bed, I got to make myself look good, I got to have a full-time job and help him because he's going to help me do better.
Eventually. Why are you in this relationship?
That's a good question.
Because he's so ambitious.
He's ambitious.
She's ambitious.
You sound like incredibly disappointed. Get out.
Why do you keep... Yeah, that's a great point.
Get out.
Well...
He's showing you what he's going to do.
Because he keeps saying he's going to do better. He's going to do better.
But he's not.
But
he's
you just called us up to tell us. Basically, you know he's not doing anything, but you're still hanging out.
Yeah.
And now she's laughing. She's like, I know. He's not going to do anything. It's like he always says, like, I'm going to open a dry cleaner. And he's not.
She's like, he keeps saying he's going to throw out that bong on the coffee table. He keeps telling me he's going to retire it.
Right.
But some
he's
point in time,
learn you have to drum.
See, stuff like that, right? You got to cut him off. You see Jeff laughing too much, just cut it off.
Hey, The Bird Show.
This is how All or Nothing Trivia works, is that we give you a trivia question. It has five answers, and you have to call up, and you have to tell us, you have to give us five answers. And if you don't get all five right, we won't tell you which ones you got right. Mm-hmm. We'll just tell you how many. So you have to keep listening and listen for the same answers or incorrect answers in order to put this sort of puzzle together. And we add different prizes every single day. So today we're going to start with $100 to Spasadel.
Cool.
And this is your all or nothing trivia question that you can call in on today. But you have to call up with five names. You just can't call up with three.
Right.
Mm-hmm. These five celebs are rumored to be really bad in bed. The worst in Hollywood. Bad in bed. Who are they? 404-741-Q100.
Ashton Kutcher, Jamie Foxx,
no.
David Arquette.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Well, he definitely can't be on that list.
Mm-mm, you would think
you
if you're on one.
Well, you hope not. Because, I mean, then why you gotta use it?
Now, I told Jen to be prepared to give clues today when we don't get an answer today.
I have one clue.
Yeah, one clue, because some of the names on this list, these are all recognizable names for sure.
You'll know who everybody is.
Mm-hmm. But some of them are just sort of a little random.
Mm-hmm.
A little random. So we're going to have to give you guys some clues.
Famous.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say for different reasons.
Like Dan Rather, one of them, or something like that? Like random? That's sort of random?
He would be.
No one's calling. I don't think nobody's calling because nobody wants to start because they know they're not going to get it right. So now what do we do? If we don't get any callers for
well,
all or nothing trivia,
I was going to say, I can't guess because I've seen the list. Mm-hmm. But y'all haven't seen the list, you can
Dan Rather
make your five guesses.
Melissa will act as the first caller.
Okay, yeah, sure. So five.
You say Dan Rather?
I did say Dan Rather.
Okay, you got one right.
No. Repeat the question, though. Let's repeat the question.
All right. These five celebrities are all dudes and all rumored to be really bad in bed, like the worst lovers in Hollywood.
All right, Wendy, let's get a list.
We'll tag team.
All right, Dan Rather.
Sanjay Gupta.
Stop. I'm not even hearing that. I got Dan Rather. Who else you got?
Denise. She said,
and
I
know personally that's not true.
Dude.
Well, you've talked to his wife or what?
So go on. You got Dan Rather.
She said Sanjay Gupta.
I didn't hear that.
Here, I'll say somebody else. Let's see.
Dr. Oz?
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh.
So Dan Rather, Sanjay Gupta, Dr. Oz.
Any TV doctor except for Sanjay Gupta? Is that an acceptable category?
No, not that guy from the doctor's show.
You want to believe that dude's good in bed, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Brad Pitt.
Okay.
Ooh, John Edwards.
And John Edwards.
Okay, so you got Dan Rather.
Sanjay Gupta.
Dr. Oz. Who else?
Brad Pitt. And who'd we say last? John Edwards.
John Edwards. Okay, you got none.
Okay.
None.
That's how it works. You guess five, and he tells you how many.
Okay.
So you can get Dan Rather off your list.
I love the fact that it took callers so long to get on with this, because I imagine people yelling around their office. Jen, Melissa, come here. Who's really bad in bed? Hurry up. I want to call in.
Good morning, Julia.
Morning.
Julia,
good morning.
Give us five names of dudes that you think would be really terrible in bed.
I'm just going to throw this out there because I have no idea, but I'm going to say 50 Cent.
Okay.
What?
Jared Leto, even though he was on last week's list. Maria Sharapova.
Okay, these are all guys.
Oh, damn, that's right. Yeah, I don't want five then.
Okay. That's a shame.
I know. Sorry.
Just give me four more names. Think of four celebrities.
Sanjay Gupta.
Usher.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't.
Come on, you're choking.
R. Kelly.
R. Kelly would be a good one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Who else? I said it. Tom Cruise.
I'd say Brad Pitt.
Okay.
Emeril.
And Joaquin Phoenix.
And Joaquin Phoenix. Okay. All right, so your guesses were 50, Usher, R. Kelly, Brad Pitt, and who was the last one?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Okay, you got one right.
Wow. Oh,
really?
Yeah, wow.
You actually got one right.
Wow.
Okay.
See?
There you go. Michael, good morning.
Morning.
Five hey. Dudes that suck in bed.
All right. I have to say Kanye West, Usher, Eminem, Stifler.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry, Jen.
That's okay. He's off my list.
Okay, good. And Burt Weiss.
Hmm. You got none right. Good morning. Linda, you're on Q100. Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
Good morning.
Okay. John Mayer.
You're so sweet when you say it.
I know, you're such a mom. Oh, my God. I don't want to know who my mom thinks is bad in bed.
It's real bad in bed. But
oh,
you're still baking my pie.
Okay, go ahead. Alex Rodriguez.
Who is that?
Alex Rodriguez.
Okay, John Mayer, Alex Rodriguez. Okay.
Robert Pattinson.
Oh.
He has a big head. Chris Brown.
Brown.
Okay, this one's really awful, but Justin Bieber.
Oh, gross.
You cannot guess that.
Linda, what is the matter
guess that.
With
that is
you.
Not right.
Linda, what is the matter with
he
you?
He is a little virgin.
That's why we don't want him, because he don't know what he's doing.
You need to march right on over to church on Sunday. You got none right. None. Now go on.
Zero.
Okay, thank you.
Go on with your Justin Bieber bet.
That was a
I did like the way she said it. Chris Brown.
Wow. Heard one.
John Mayer. It's like she's teaching kindergarten.
Ears are bleeding.
All or nothing trivia. Jenny, you will be the last one today. Then we will give a clue.
All right, I'm ready.
Do your thing.
Eric Benet. Screech from Saved by the Bell. Bill O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Beck.
Mm-hmm.
And Alec Baldwin.
Okay. Mm. You didn't get any correct today.
Oh, come on.
Okay, but that's all right, because every wrong guess helps us also. But one of the people on this list was named today.
Yeah.
Okay, so which is more than I thought we were going to have.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jen, do you want to give one clue for one of the dudes on this list today?
Yes. Okay, this is one clue for only one of the guys. This, and I hope it's not too specific, Bert. You can tell me on this one if I gave too much, and then...
We'll
from Monday, I'll maybe pare it back a little bit.
What you got?
This 20-something reality TV personality and his latest love interest got matching tattoos.
Yeah, I think you pretty much gave that one away.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, because someone will Google it. That's okay. That's okay, because it's going to be a long time before we get all this one. But that's a good clue right there. So you should definitely come in here on Monday with one based on that clue. So, okay.
You're going to get hit later.
The five dude celebrities in Hollywood that are rumored to really, really suck in bed.
Get it. The Burt Show. You're on The Burt Show.
Producer Tracy is back. What's going on? Trace is feeling all sorts of guilt right now.
Oh, I'm always feeling guilt, aren't I? Because you're Catholic.
Isn't it great being Catholic? It's so awesome.
I don't know if it's a Catholic thing or the mommy thing, but there's all sorts of mommy guilt that just comes along with having a baby. But yeah, and this is kind of awkward to talk about, you know, with my coworkers and my boss. But I think if I were being 100% completely honest and I could do what I really wanted to do, I would be a stay-at-home mom.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of feel like, and I know that there's some moms that disagree with me, and if it works for you, fantastic. But for me, I don't think I'm as good of a mom as I would want to be because I have this job, or because I would have any job, mm-hmm. not just this specific job. But well, I just...
This especially affects you because you really, I mean, you and Scott are like, I mean, you dote over your daughter. I mean, it's like you would spend 24/7 over her. So to be at work and away from her must really... feel very foreign to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's the time away from her that really bothers me. It bothers me that when she wakes up in the morning, especially with this specific job, I'm not there when she wakes up. You know, she goes to bed at night and she doesn't see me again until noon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That kind of bothers me, but it's just the time too. Like, I don't have the time to be taking her to those mommy and me classes. I don't have the time to be, you know, making dinners for my family. I don't have the time to keep my house as clean as I would want to. I just don't have the time to do the things that I really want to do. And I read...
Now that she doesn't need your boobs, does she even like you?
Yes, she loves me, Jeff.
Are you sure?
Yes. Yeah, Jeff.
She'll make this harder of a conversation than it already is for Tracy to have.
It's difficult for her to say this.
And I don't know if it's something that every working mom feels or if it's me because... Just with things I do, I'm not okay with just being good at them. So I feel like by trying to do both, I'm good at both things, but I'm not great at both things.
Mm-hmm. Well, yesterday, Katie and I went to see a friend of ours who just had triplets 4 months ago.
Oh, Lord.
And one of the things I remember saying, we were all on the back patio, and I said, this is a guilt-free, criticism-free zone. Because I think every new mom or newer mom feels like there is a certain expectation on how she's supposed to raise the kid. And I do believe that every woman is different. I do mm-hmm. think that women should treat each other as if we're individuals and not all mothers have to be the same. But I do remember saying that to her, and it was almost a sense of relief because she was able to complain about her experience, because I think that you should be able to complain about your experience. Be proud. It doesn't mean that you aren't a good mom. It doesn't mean that you don't appreciate what's going on. It doesn't mean anything. It just, mm-hmm. but sometimes people need to be able to complain to get it out of their system in order to, you know, move forward and know what the right decision is for them.
Now, I do know mothers are the other way also, that they tried to be stay-at-home moms and were dying to get back to work.
And I will freely admit that when I do, because I have her in the afternoons, I feel weird having this conversation because I think I'm more fortunate than even most working moms do, because at least I do get half the day with my daughter, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. because I sacrifice sleep because my work day starts a lot sooner, mm-hmm. but I get home at 1 o'clock and I get the rest of the day. And it can be boring as, you know, I mean, anything. I mean, you're sitting there trying to entertain a 10-month-old baby. That's not entertaining for an adult. But I just feel like that's my job right now. I have her, and while I have her, I want to spend as much time as I possibly can teaching her and doing things with her and exposing her to different things. And I just feel like I'm more limited because I have a job.
Here's Marissa. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Good. How are you?
Good. I love the show.
Thank you.
I just basically wanted to let you know that I'm in the same exact position you are. I'm 21, and I have a 5-month-old, and I hardly ever see him. I work horrible hours in a call center, and I'm on my way to work now. Mm-hmm. He was asleep when I left, and I won't be back until 8 or 9 o'clock tonight because I live an hour from where I work. So just treasure every moment and be grateful that you do have that afternoon to spend with him and know that, you know what I'm saying, like mm-hmm. that I would give anything to be off at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but we have a wonderful babysitter, though, and she does make our experience a lot better, but she sees a lot of what he does first.
So. Yeah, I don't think that the guilt goes away. It doesn't matter either way. If you're a stay-at-home mom, you're a working mom, I don't think the guilt ever goes away. Like, I think I've run into working moms that are comfortable working. They would rather work mm-hmm. and not be at home mm-hmm. that struggle with feeling like there's something wrong with them. Like, your motherly instincts. No, I'm not saying it's about you, but on the other side.
Right.
Like, there should be something about them that always wants to be with their child, and they don't feel like that.
But you know what? And I would say to that person, because like I said, I think every person is different. They're doing what fulfills them, and because it fulfills them, it makes them a better person, it makes them a happier person, which then they're able to give a better side of themselves to their children. Mm-hmm. It's just, for me, I think it's in my nature, obviously, to want to be around her all the time, and we are certainly not in a situation where I could afford to quit my job, so I'm not going anywhere, you guys. But if I had it, my ideal world, I would be at home sure. with her all the time.
Hey, Brianna, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. I just wanted to say I completely relate with you. The corporate world can be so frustrating because, you know, they don't understand. And there's so many people who don't have kids or have the live-in nannies, and they don't understand what you're going through. They pressure you to do more. And this might not be your number one. Your job might not be your number one. Your family is your number one. And it's so frustrating not to have that understood.
I think for guys, too, it's so funny that when I was talking to the father yesterday of the triplets, I think that, you know, traditionally you think that only women are looked at differently at work with a family. But he says, you know, what's odd is at his work, he's starting to realize that people are starting to look at him as if, well, you've got something else going on. So we're, you know, there was almost a sense of feeling like that he's being questioned now that he is a father. On his dedication and his mental dedication, rather. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we've talked about this before, the bosses that have called up on the voice disguiser and said that, you know, if it comes down to two people that have equal experience, they'll go with the person that doesn't have children because they know that their focus can always be on work and not at home.
But I feel like that sometimes, sad. Too. Like, I feel like Jeff will take over from your cover for me because I have Ella, but that's not fair to him. It's not fair for him to step in to do something that I would typically do just because I have a baby and he doesn't.
Well, he's got Sasha.
Clearly.
I know. He's got a child.
And it gives him
that's
something
true.
To do, which is good. Hey, Heather, good morning. You're on
Q100. Hey. Tracy, I was just going to tell you, I'm a mother of triplets as well, like Melissa's
Congratulations.
Friend. And I know it's difficult, and the guilt is just something that comes with being a mother, but just take it one day at a time and just know that you're doing the best job that you can.
Yeah, I am, and I feel really bad having this conversation because all these people are calling. They're calling up with, like, more outrageous situations than, you know, she's got three kids. The last caller, you know, works all hours of the day.
You're feeling guilty about feeling guilty.
Yeah, I know.
But I think it's important, though, that I think that, to me, though, the important part is the fact that you recognize in yourself how what you think would make you a better mother. You know, mm-hmm. I think that we always talk about the stay-at-home mom versus, you know, the working mom, which I always am uncomfortable with. Because I don't think it's a competition. I do think it ends up being, as a woman, as with anything else, you've got to figure out who you are as well as who you're trying to please, and then to try to be the best person you can be by being honest with yourself and living honestly.
Mm-hmm. Do you and Scott have serious conversations about how you could make that happen?
About me being a stay-at-home mom?
Mm-hmm. I just wonder how many people get to this stage
Scott's brought up how can he be a stay-at-home mom. He's addressed that a few times.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, how many people get to the stage where you are and just go, okay, time out. We're going to make some serious life changes so that we can make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's never, I guess it's just so far-fetched at this point that it hasn't been a sit-down, let's write everything out and figure out our finances. I mean, I kind of feel like the only time that it's actually going to be possible, she's going to be in school anyway. And yeah, we might have another one, but then I'll feel guilty that I stayed home with that one and not her.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's no escaping it. There's
I know.
No
I'm
escaping
just,
it.
I'm just jealous of all those working moms. Really, really jealous. Hey, or stay-at-home moms. I'm sorry.
And next time you feel guilty about asking me to do something because you have Ella, just give me Ella and I'll go stroll the mall or whatever you moms do all day with the kid and stick a bottle in his mouth
really
every
easy.
Now and again.
Yeah, how can it be?
Tough gig. Hey, let's go for a ride until you doze off. Then I'll push you through Lenox Square.
Right.
Listen. It's the Burt Show.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something. But this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. But we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
This is The Burt Show.
But everybody clear the floor for Melissa Carr.
Oh, my God.
Physical. Very good reason why we're playing this song. Olivia Newton-John is going to be in Glee.
Yes.
And I think the episode surrounds this song.
Okay.
I believe. And Olivia Newton-John is on the phone with us right now.
I'm curious to ask her because they had just done their Madonna episode. So when they have Olivia Newton-John on, is it going to be just one song or is it going to be a catalog of your music?
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
Good morning, everybody.
Hi.
No, it's just the one song.
It is, okay.
And I'm actually on the show. I think Madonna, they just had her music and lots of music, but I'm actually on the show and performing it with Jane Lynch, so it was a blast.
Fantastic.
Awesome. How was that, doing the whole song with her? I mean, she's hilarious.
She is hilarious. She's the loveliest person and amazing actress, and it was really fun and a great learning experience to work with her, actually. And I actually just did another episode with her a couple of weeks ago, which would be the final episode. So I've been lucky enough to do it twice now, and it was a blast both times.
I got to meet Jane Lynch when I was in L.A. last time and did an interview with her and was surprised how tall she is.
Yeah, she's a tall lady, isn't she? Yeah, but she's a charming person.
Now, this song, Physical, that the show revolves around here, do I have it right that you didn't even want to release that back in the day? You did not want that to be a single, correct?
Yeah, I got really anxious after I'd recorded it that it was a bit too naughty, you know, and so I said, oh, you know what we need to do? We need to make a video about exercise. That's it. We'll do exercise because that'll distract. Well, that just made it bigger, right? I remember calling my manager and saying, take it off. I don't want it to go out. I think it's just, I'm unsure about it. He said, too late. It's gone to radio. And, of course, it went to number one.
Isn't that funny?
Weeks, wow. So I got used to the idea.
Like, I think I read this yesterday. It's funny how, like, when you look back on your life, there are some major decisions that you make. Mm-hmm. And based on those couple of decisions, your life will go one way or the other. And in this case... In this case, Olivia Newton-John didn't want to put Physical out, but it does so well. And I also read somewhere that you weren't really hip on doing the movie Grease, right?
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure about it because I'd made another movie in England a couple of years before, which didn't do very well. And my musical career in America was doing well, and I didn't want to, you know, mess anything up by making another bad film. Mm-hmm. So, do you think I could do a screen test with the guy you're thinking of? Because I'm not sure I look young enough. God, I look at it now and I go, what was I thinking? But at that time, I was all of 29 and was worried about looking 18. So, you know, things change.
But it's funny, had you pursued those two decisions and said, no to Grease and no to Physical, your life might be totally different today.
I know. Who knows what it would be like? That's very interesting. I think we could make a movie about that.
Well, going back to Glee, I'm curious because I love the show. I'm a Gleek. And so, and I'm always curious how they approach, did they approach you about using Physical and having you on the show? And had you seen the show before this?
I don't know. Yes, no. the producer of the show, who is the writer and came up with the concept, Ryan Murphy, who's a brilliant guy, met my producer and one of my best friends, John Farrah, and his wife, Pat, who used to be my singing partner, in a restaurant. And he and Jane Lynch went up to him and said, do you think that Olivia would do the show Glee? And I don't know what he said. It all seemed to happen around the same time, but my agent called and said they were in Sydney doing the show Glee. I asked them to send me an episode because I knew what it was, but I hadn't had a chance to see the whole episode. Mm-hmm. And loved it, and then I went and had met Ryan Murphy for lunch, and we discussed the idea that he wanted it to be me, but he wanted it to be the other side of me and not the side people would expect. So that was really fun. I'm playing myself, but not myself as I really am.
And the episode airs on what date?
May 4th.
On May 4th, great. Mm-hmm. Now, is this the only one you're doing, or did I read correctly that you're doing like two episodes with these guys?
I did a second one. I just went back out there a couple of weeks ago and did the final episode with Josh Groban. We played the judges on the final Glee, contest. So it was great. We had a blast both times.
Fantastic.
How fun. What very a fun nice. Like side project to be a part of.
Right? Well, thank
you. Yeah, really.
Yeah, congratulations.
I'm very honored to be asked to do that. It was great.
Well, thank you for calling us, and we'll post all the information and remind people to go watch you on Glee, okay?
Oh, wonderful. Thanks, guys. Nice
thank you.
And say hi to my friends out there, Jim Harver and the ITEL family, if they're listening.
The what family?
Bye, everybody. Yep. ITEL.
Okay.
ITEL. All right, we will.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
I am so jealous of Jane Lynch, let me tell you why. Because Jane Lynch is an open lesbian, okay? So Jane Lynch and I are in the family together. We're in the tribe together. And so Jane Lynch is probably, all of about 14 when Olivia Newton-John, you know, started making hits here in America. And I was, you know, in elementary school. She's one of my first crushes, and I'm assuming the same for Jane Lynch. Jane Lynch got to walk up to the table and say, hey, would you like to do the song with me? And she's like, oh, sure. And then she gets to do two episodes with her.
She lived out your
so
fantasy.
Jealous.
You
yeah.
had you, so cool. You hung out with Olivia Newton-John?
I met her. Yes.
But you got kind of chicken there.
I didn't get to sing Physical or dance with her or anything.
Jen, I was telling these guys you weren't in the studio that you remember that story about her losing her boyfriend just took off and they couldn't find him?
Yeah, he disappeared.
Disappeared, right? For years they couldn't find this guy and many thought he was dead. I read yesterday how they found the guy. So a private investigator sets up a website, right, called helpfindpatmcdermott.com.
Uh-huh.
And they started tracking where all the hits were coming in for this website. And Pat McDermott himself was checking the website. And
probably every day.
Every
looking
day.
At the comments and or the posts or whatever.
They and
located
that's how
him
they
through,
tracked him?
Yes. They set a website trap for him. And
that's wild.
It's actually brilliant.
Isn't it?
Really smart.
Really weird. That was years ago, though, so you can't really bring it up in conversation.
And
anymore,
she's
right
remarried.
Yeah, she's
and
remarried
and yeah. Totally happy. And yeah.
This is The Bird Show.